Hello and welcome to
2 o'clock with Kella.
Bring your tea
and leave with more.
Hello.
Hello.
Welcome back to a very literary episode.
Very literary episode indeed. Lots of contemporary fiction slash lit book slash, yeah, all of that. Really.
All the slashes.
I don't know why I had to add another slash there.
Because it's just a bit of everything, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. I'm going back to a bit of our fave, Sally Rooney.
Oh, we were like, can we do any more Sally Rooney? And you know what? We actually can, even though we've spoken about all of her books now.
Yeah. Yeah. So we need her to write another one. Plus, yeah. We just realised that there are some more of her short stories online that we can read and talk about at some point soon. So,
I mean, surely, is she due out another book? Like, if you look at the timeline of when the other three came out.
Was it 21, the last one came out?
I think so, because it was very much still lockdown vibes, yeah. But lockdown had happened.
So let's hope she's been sitting away, writing another one, and is going to bring it out soon.
Please. Yeah, surely, it's about time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Who's the publisher? We need to find someone who's
got... It's Faber.
Inside knowledge of Faber.
Mm-hmm. Tell us. Yeah, I'll investigate. We'll see.
Oh.
Yeah. But yeah, we're going to chat about a short story, Mr. Salary. Mm-hmm. And we'll also be talking about The Yellow Kitchen by Margot Villa. Yeah. I don't know. I want to say it's in Spanish. In Spanish, it'd be like Villa Yeron.
Yeah, it's French.
No, yeah. It's French. Villa Yeron?
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm giving myself
we'll take that.
And also talking about Cleopatra and Frankenstein.
Yeah,
by Coco. You're going to give me a little bit of Emma Klein info.
Yeah, and then potentially if we have time you can give me a bit of Send Nudes info.
Yeah.
Not as dodgy as it sounds, I promise.
I love how you phrase that. Yeah, sure, can do, by Saba Sams. Yeah, so it's a jam-packed episode today. Before that, let's crack on with what we've been consuming.
Hey Kerry, what have you been consuming this week?
I have been reading the last Richard Osman book. Well, actually, turns out it's not the last one. I thought it was, but he's just taking a break.
Okay.
It's actually not out until September, but I got it at work because we needed it. So I just had to like proof it, you know?
Yeah, definitely.
I needed to look it over to see if like we wanted to do it, you know?
Yeah.
So I just had to, so strictly business reasons, so I won't be giving out any info on it. However, what I will say is that it was really, really good, and in this installment it's a lot more emotional than the other ones, and it doesn't feel as much about the crimes, which I really enjoy. It is a bit pastiche because of that. And I kind of think, oh, how many more crimes are they going to solve? Like, I don't know. I get a bit.
Yeah.
Is this taking the mickey now? But then I guess you've got to write another book, haven't you? I don't know. And then I was forgetting about, then they mentioned stuff from the other books. Can I remember? No. I don't remember that. I don't remember what that case was from book two. But I'd got answers
for it.
Yeah. But I got answers from some things that they left hanging in book three that annoyed me, so that was good. So I would rate it about 4.5 stars.
That's high.
Yeah, because I think he just writes so beautifully. I love how he writes. So pop off, Richard. That's my what you've been consuming. I highly recommend. I think it's out in 2 months maybe.
Yeah, I'm sure that time will fly by before everyone can get it.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey Ella, what have you been consuming this week?
What about me? I recently watched The Wonder, finally.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, because we were going to do an episode on it last series, but we didn't in the end. But yeah, I watched it and it was good. I did enjoy it. I think I thought it would be a lot more kind of like this question of religion and kind of atheism, but actually that wasn't really so much of it. It was more about the relationships between the people and Florence's character just wanting like being such a good person and wanting the best, yeah. and her having kind of her kind of troubled background and wanting to create better lives for themselves and everything. But no, it was interesting. It's quite a slow burn.
Okay.
And quite kind of a moody film, but very good and very beautiful. Aww. It looks so real and authentic with all the costumes. Aww. And the sets are insane. And there's a lot of kind of wandering around the wilderness in Ireland as well.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was really interesting. I definitely would recommend watching it.
What would you rate it?
Maybe 3.5 to 4
stars. Okay, that's promising.
Yeah. Just because there's like a little bit at the beginning and the end which feel a little bit unnecessary. Like you'll get what I mean when you watch it. But no, it was interesting.
Okay. And
I was a bit dubious when I first heard that she had a Brummie accent.
Hello?
But actually, it's all right.
Oh, that's good.
It's not off-putting. You know how sometimes accents are a bit off-putting?
Yeah.
But actually, no. Yeah.
No, that reminds me. You know that picture that's doing the rounds of Cillian Murphy?
Yep.
I said that on purpose because I've been like, silly. Do you know what I mean? That one. And I didn't realise that the reason he was with all those other actors was because they're in Oppenheimer as well. And I don't know, I've just seen so much like content about him that I forgot that there's other people in the film. And that cast, like, what? That's actually wild.
The cast is insane for Oppenheimer.
Yeah,
because obviously, all like, the pictures from premiere yesterday. Yeah. I was like, wow.
I'm so excited. I am going to do them both in the same day.
Are you? See, I've got tickets for Barbie, but I haven't got Oppenheimer tickets yet.
Well, I did have tickets for Barbie, and long story short, I can't go on opening night anymore. But it's fine, because then my sister and I are going to do both of them one day on a Sunday, which is quite nice.
That'll be good.
Yeah, we're going to do a brunch in between and change into our Barbie outfit. So
I love that. That's so cool.
And we
actually will have a Barbie episode. It won't be the next episode, it will be the episode after.
Yeah,
that'll be a Barbie episode, so keep your ears out for that.
Wee.
And I'm sure we'll mention Oppenheimer as well.
Yeah, it will have to be mentioned.
Yeah,
can't not. Yeah,
well, it's not good consuming from us though.
Good for us. And now book time. Where to begin?
Which I feel like we have to begin with Sally Rooney.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also have to preface this with, I said to Ella earlier, I've got Mr. Cellophane stuck on my head and I just can't stop going to sing it. But it's called Mr. Salary.
But if you want to hear us talk about Mr. Cellophane, listen to our Chicago episode.
Ooh.
Back in series 2.
Yeah, go on.
That was a bit of a shameless plug from us.
I love it. Yeah.
Mr. Salary. Where to begin?
Well, should I read out the little blurb? It's only short.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Let's summarise.
Years ago, Suki moved in with Nathan because her mother was dead and her father was difficult and she had nowhere else to go. Now they are on the brink of the inevitable.
Ooh.
That's quick and that proper sums it up, so.
Yeah, it does. And this will be spoiler territory, I guess.
Yeah, it's so short we have to spoil it. But also, it's not really like a spoilable book.
Well, no, so I was going to say, you're left still on that, you're semi-left on that brink of inevitability as well at the end.
Yeah.
So it's a bit like, okay, now that's done, like, what way is it going to go after this?
So what it is, she flies over to see him. And she's very much trying to initiate their relationship because she's always fancied him, but it's never really been like that.
Yeah, because he's a bit older than her.
Yeah, so he feels awkward about it. He doesn't want to take advantage. But you can just feel the vibes.
You so can from the get-go.
Yeah, and I don't know if it's just because I'm a Francis and Nick stan, so I was really here for it. Yeah. But yeah, and then at the end, they are kind of thing. Well, he's very hesitant about it, but she's like, for God's sake, just get me.
Yeah, that basically sums it up.
Yeah,
But it's just so, it's so engrossing, and you get, I found myself getting so invested with these characters so quickly.
Yeah, honestly.
Like, you just kind of fall into the story and go with it, even though nothing kind of massive or remarkable happens.
No.
Like, it's just kind of him picking up from the airport, then start to go to the flat, her going to visit her dad, who's not doing well.
Yeah.
And part, it's just, oh, just something so, I don't know if magnetic is the right word to this.
No, it was so right.
But there is.
Yeah.
About Rooney's writing. It just draws you right in, and you're just so invested in the characters, and you just want to know everything you can about them.
Yeah, 100%. Like, we already said that we just need to carry on reading this. We need this to be a book.
Yeah.
How's it only, it's so short. How many pages is it? I think it's like 30.
30, okay.
But sorry. Even then, it's quite a large font, and it's not, it's like the size of an envelope.
Yeah.
Like a standard little envelope. So, so short, but packs such a punch. Love.
It does. Yeah. And you could so easily see it as being like a middle chapter of
the
entire novel of hers.
Yeah, I thought that as well, actually. That's so interesting. We both thought that.
Yeah. And I reckon, I think her writing lends itself quite well to that, because I'm sure you could pull out like a chapter of Normal People or something because of all the time jumps in Normal People.
Yeah.
And have it as a short story.
Because that's the thing about her writing, is that it's all very everyday. And so you can just pick out, because it's not super plot heavy, but it is. It's enough to be entertaining, but it is also very just everyday life observant kind of vibe. So in that sense, you can just pull it out, because nothing hinges on something dramatic happening as such.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's very true.
Isn't it interesting as well that I said that this gives Nick and Francis vibes, but then also it's like Simon and Eileen, because you can imagine, yeah, that this technically could be written about Simon and Eileen, and if this had been the middle part of the book, then they would have all those chapters when they're talking about Simon and Eileen, and like him visiting her when she's younger and her liking him and nothing happening, because it's weird.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
it almost feels like that could have been where some of the inspiration for this came from.
Yeah, I mean, like, which way round did they come out?
Oh, I'm not sure.
When was this published? This was 2016.
Oh,
interesting.
Wow. So potentially it's one of those things where that was written first, and it kind of sparked this bigger idea and this bigger story.
Yeah. Oh, I wonder.
Yeah, because I think that happened quite a lot back in the days of publishing either like short stories or like things in periodicals, where I read a Dickens short story that was basically a dry run of what A Christmas Carol turned into a few years
later.
I can't remember what it was called.
Oh, interesting.
I'll have to find it, but
yeah.
Yeah, it was essentially A Christmas Carol condensed into a short story before he wrote A Christmas Carol.
Oh, I love that. It is interesting, her fixation, though, with having this power imbalance, an older man and a younger girl.
Yeah.
But I think I said this before about Nick and Francis, that I don't know, I didn't really read it in a, like, that uncomfortable way, and she properly addresses that as not supposed to be uncomfortable.
Yeah,
but I really like, because it is true in that, obviously it depends on each situation, but like there's that age-old thing of women are more, seem to mature earlier.
Yeah, and I guess that leads, well, I'm sure we'll talk about this later, but with Cleopatra and Frankenstein as well.
Oh my god, Jane, you're so right. So
very much that kind of older man, younger woman, and the power there, but I think it's a bit more blurry. The power that doesn't really fall in the way you might expect.
Yeah.
Cleopatra and Frankenstein, but obviously there's all the other stuff going on as well in that.
Yeah.
This is such an interesting topic that these people write about.
Yeah, and I think it's because it's kind of a reclaiming of how it may be in other stories, older stories, it's always like the man just gets a younger girl and they're like super attractive and that, and it's a bit exploitative, whereas in this it's more so like the girl has the power, like she holds the cards. Yeah. Is that even an expression?
No, it definitely is, because in these stories, it's
like
the younger woman with more of this power and more of this, more of this agency to make her own mind up and be a bit more assertive.
Yeah.
As opposed to, like you're saying, it just being the man thinking that he's, one, he's a man and he's older mm-hmm. and he's entitled to anything, where this is more about women going for what they want.
Yeah, for sure.
Despite these other factors.
Because in Beautiful World, Where Are You? Eileen's the one that's pushing Simon away and then decides that she does want to be with him.
Yeah.
So she's very much in control. And it's the same with this. And Suki's the one that has to initiate it all. So actually, it's really nice to see that. Well, I don't ever like anyone to be, you know, like controlling of the other one. I don't mean it in that sense, but it is interesting in these ones that do have that agency.
Yeah.
And also that love is also so much to do with power as well.
Yeah, it actually is. And that feels like a very common theme in a lot of things.
Yeah.
Love and power and the kind of dynamics.
Like, why does someone always have to have one over on the other one or be more obsessed with the other one? You know what I mean?
Even if you think of like common everyday sayings, like in relationships, it's like, oh, who wears the pants in the relationship?
Yeah.
Like that, it's all about one having dominance over the other.
Mm-hmm.
You very rarely read stories or hear stories about equals in that way. I guess it's less interesting.
Yeah.
As well.
Yeah.
So partially that's why, but.
Yeah, you're right.
I think it's kind of flipping it in a way from what I think a lot of the stories about power dynamics and relationships. I think Lolita seems like a rogue example to use, but quite an extreme example of convention and how it's being flipped, but not flipped, modernized maybe.
Sally really runs with that idea of when you really love someone so much that you just don't have control anymore.
Yeah, definitely. You
know? Like when she says, my favourite quote in Mrs. Sally, which I think they put on the inside cover. Yeah, they did. When Suki says, my love for him felt so total and so annihilating that it was often impossible for me to see him clearly at all.
Yeah.
And then, it carries on a little bit, which I wrote down. And she then says, if he left my line of sight for more than a few seconds, I couldn't even remember what his face looked like.
It's simultaneously so beautiful and so heartbreaking.
Yeah.
At once.
Yeah.
That kind of expression of love and
it's that whole borderline thing, like it's such a thin line between
love, like, and obsession.
Yeah. And something being good and bad for you. You know what I mean? In terms of like him is amazing, but at the same time, like it makes her that she can't even remember anything.
Yeah.
But it's so true. I love that. I wrote that down at the time because I was like, you know, when you just get so wrapped up in something that you can't even comprehend it.
Mm.
Which is so cool because Sally writes about, sorry, what am I saying, Sally? I do that with Harry Styles, but you know Harry. Because Sally makes things that are incomprehensible when she puts it into words.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I know she doesn't write about addiction, but it feels like addiction falls quite similarly into that category. And I guess in a way Cleopatra and Frankenstein adds in that addiction, not just people but also like substance abuse addiction and things like that.
That's a really good point, because it's with Mrs. Sally, she talks about, I guess, obsession and addiction that are kind of the same thing in a way. And in this it's that addiction to the other person, being obsessed with the other person. That actually leads really nicely onto Cleopatra and Frankenstein. But before that, I just want to say my other favourite quote from it.
Please do.
It's so beautiful. Nathan says, I'm so happy to see you. I'm having trouble talking in my normal accent. How adorable is that?
That's so
everything
sweet.
She writes so cute. It gives me, when Nick talks to Francis and he says something like, if I've been philosophical about it, I think I loved you before I even met you.
Yeah. I mean, it's just so beautiful and just fills your heart with a lot of warmth.
It really does. And it's so nice to talk about before we go into Cleopatra and Frankenstein, which is low-key quite dark, you know?
Whereas quite dark, quite messy.
Yeah, whereas while this is slightly messy, she just condenses it into a short story and tries to take the mess out of it and just show all the light parts of it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and I guess, like you say, when it's in her novels, that's where it's kind of a bit more of the messy side.
It's just relatable, everyday vibes. Actually super sweet, without, in my opinion, being that cringe. So I really love this story. And I don't know, I feel like we could discuss it more, but we're leading so beautifully into Cleopatra and Frankenstein. Which is also far longer than this.
About 400 pages.
Yeah. So I reckon it's time.
Yeah. I'm just trying to see how many stars I gave it.
Okay. I
gave it 4. You gave it 3.
Why did you give it 4 stars, Bella?
Said in my review that I was utterly swept away. In their messy and uncertain lives. I'm sure every emotion whilst reading this novel, and there are some very beautiful lines that will stay with me. There were some very beautiful bits in amongst some of the not so beautiful bits.
Yeah.
It was a little bit slow.
Mm-mm.
I mean, it's a very litfic, character driven, not really much plot, even though I guess there kind of is the plot of their love story. But I don't, because there are moments where it's really sweet and happy. There are other moments where it's very dark and sad.
Mm.
They're not really the most likable characters in the world, are they?
No, which I suppose is the point.
Yeah.
I don't think it's the unlikable characters that made me dislike it. Well, I didn't... I don't know. I was on the fence, which is why I just went in the middle and gave it 3 stars. Because... I mean, it's lit fic, so as you said, of course, it's slow. So I can't really begrudge it for that. But I honestly just didn't care about it. Really didn't. And it bordered on being too pretentious. And also, I've had enough of reading about toxic relationships where it's rich white people doing a load of coke.
Yeah, which happens a lot in this book.
Yeah, so I was quite fed up with that. And they weren't unlikable to an extent that I was like, oh, I want to see what they do next because this is so toxic.
Mm-hmm.
They were unlikable in a sense of I'm not invested in you. It's not like a Draco Malfoy unlikable.
Yeah.
You know?
That's a good way of putting it.
Yeah. So I was I'm not that bothered. And there were points when I was like, oh, do you know what? This is getting really good now. I can see myself really liking this. And then I was like, oh,
yeah.
Okay.
And I did think it was a bit odd the way the narration changed between people in the way it did.
Oh my god, the narration was so weird. Yeah, because the book's about Cleo and Frank's relationship, but they're not the only ones. Well, they're the main ones relating it or narrating it.
And there's the others as well.
But then, is she called Eleanor?
Yes, yeah, the one who she has like an affair with.
Yeah, then she suddenly pops up. Definitely at least halfway through. It's quite a long way in.
Yeah, and then she has a couple of chapters in.
Well, I was like, who are you? Where are you coming from? Why are you now narrating? And then they had a couple of random ones like from the chef guy.
Yeah. And it just felt a bit weird. And okay, she did a great job at completely changing the tone. And I think especially the Eleanor chapters were written in such a different way.
Yeah,
the others, so it was very clear. But I think sometimes with the chef or whoever it was, that sometimes felt a little uncertain because you're like, oh wait, who am I following now? Who am I listening to?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah,
that was because, a bit jarring in places.
I can't remember what I wrote in my review. I think I said something like, I loved Eleanor so much, and if I had just read her chapters of the book, I would have been much more like, okay, 4 stars.
Yeah.
So I definitely think Coco Melis is a really good writer. Like, I can't fault her actual writing style. I just was not here for what she chose to put in the book. Like, there were sections that I really liked.
Yeah.
But I would have cut so much out of it. I was like, I'm just not bothered about that. It's like, the style I loved, it was the content I didn't.
Yeah.
So I would definitely read another one of her books. Just this one, no thank you. Because the Eleanor stuff, that was really, really interesting.
It was.
Mm. And there were lots of quirky bits as well that I liked. Not necessarily like plot points, because as I said, it's very just character study. But I loved all the things about that. What was it called? Like that flying squirrel thing, but it wasn't squirrel. It's like a sugar something.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, like, I've never heard of that before.
No, I liked it having all those quirks, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Like, that made it more interesting.
Yeah, that was a weird...
I mean, weird odd, but...
Those weird but like, and that just makes you think these people are even weirder than you think they are to begin with.
I liked Zoe's stories, like, her narrated bits as well.
Yeah, it's weird, because I think both of us ended up liking the storylines or the other narration bits that weren't directly Cleo or Frank.
Yeah, pretty... Oh, apart from, I don't like... Quentin at all.
No,
for the most part. Yeah, the bits that weren't clear in front,
just the whole Quentin character, I don't know if this is right, but it weirdly felt like it was there for the sake of not having a bunch of straight white people.
Honestly, yeah, that was like the allocated LGBTQ plus section, do you know what I mean?
Because it just felt a little bit too shoehorned and in your face, and it was like, don't just do that for the sake of not have it, like, not only having
people
in this book.
All it was giving was drugs. So what was that?
Yeah,
it didn't really relate to Cleo and Frank, which the other characters who narrated did. So I don't understand what that was all about.
Yeah, apart from him supposedly being like Cleo's best friend, but
yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not sure about that.
I think it was interesting. I think it was one of those books that was quite popular when it first came out. I think it was hyped up a lot. But I think it's definitely kind of, the hype has died down and no one's really talking about it much anymore.
No. I haven't spoken to anyone that's liked it, even though it was everywhere.
Yeah, I think it's one of those where the marketing team were on it.
They before it came off. Out,
they were kind of building up the hype around it.
Yeah.
And then it was like, oh.
Yeah. I mean, don't get me wrong, it covers some really important things in it.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And I did, like, I mean, I gave it 4 stars for some reason. Like, it was still, still readable and interesting. Yeah.
I was nonplussed about it overall.
Yeah.
But I think it was good that she spoke about Cleo's depression and trigger warning that then shows her suicide attempt. And that was very, like, although it was weird because it was quite artsy and I was like, you kind of like glamorizing it a bit.
Yeah.
But I don't know. But I was glad that she included that.
Yeah, rather than it all being like surface level.
Yeah.
Things. There were quite a lot.
Like, I thought that she wrote about family really well, and she spoke about because Cleo's mum also had a history of depression. I thought that she spoke about that relationship really well, and those were not necessarily the interesting parts of the character study. Well, it's interesting in the sense of, like, those are the bits that, like, I felt were the best written. But and also Frank's relationship with his sister Zoe, I felt like that was really well written. And she was good at understanding just general struggles of being a young woman, and how, for instance, like, she didn't have any money, so she had to become, well, not really an escort, but of sorts.
Yeah.
And so I thought things like that she did talk about really well. I was glad that they were in the book.
I definitely agree. The kind of the family in it is very interesting.
Did you find it a bit weird, though? The very end, when he went to see her in Italy, and they were kind of saying that they still, like, they always love each other kind of thing, and he was like, hey, I'm just going to leave you now, bye.
Yeah, because it was weird, because it almost felt like they were kind of saying that for the sake of it, because I don't think there was any point in the book where you really root for them or you really see their kind of love for each other.
Like, Loki, what was the point of their relationship?
For the two of them, which I kind of guess is semi a plot point, because they're like, oh, didn't you just marry him for like his green, to get a green card or whatever?
Yeah,
and I feel like we are missing a bit of that, which is why it feels quite odd and quite jarring at the end, where you get that bit.
Yeah.
Like, well, you never actually saw any of that kind of love or devotion for each other.
Mm.
It was like they were just there to kind of help each other out in those moments, but then again, they didn't really help each other out that well.
No. Yeah. How can we root for them breaking up when we don't know why they were together? I need the both. I don't just want to see it all breaking down. I like to know where they were to start with.
Yeah, exactly. Because it jumps so quickly from them meeting to them being engaged. I think that's literally chapter one and chapter two.
Mm-hmm.
And it just, it feels you need to build that foundation for their relationship.
Yeah.
In some way to understand the why behind mm-hmm. them being together, which would then maybe help some of the rest of the book seem to be like, be a bit more forgiving towards some of it or how they act. I don't know. But I think that foundation wasn't built or shown in a way that it could have been.
Yeah, I was just like, that's convenient. You're in Italy now. Good for you.
Yeah, like, live your best life.
Yeah, okay, go on.
Yeah.
It did feel very now. Like, if you had to pick a book to summarise 2023,
lol. Yeah. I do agree. It does feel very now, very current, very what people are writing and
about.
So from that point of view, it does.
But I wouldn't recommend it. I think
I would either.
It's so long that, well, I mean, it's 400 pages, so you know, it's only half of A Little Lie.
But it does feel slow.
I think there are other books out there that give you a bit more entertainment while being litfic that are better. Like, I would say go for Boy Parts, which is similar vibes. I think that's better and it's not as long.
Yeah.
And it's a bit more like, it has all the fun, edgy stuff. Not edgy, like, there's unique parts of Cleo and Frank in Boy Parts. Like, there's a guy called Eddie from Tesco's, and so she takes pictures of guys in nude. Not even in a sexual way, it's just her thing. She just finds it interesting. And so she gets, like, she has Eddie from Tesco, she's got him wearing like this bunny head or something.
Interesting.
And that one's weird, and I personally wouldn't have picked it up by choice, but I read it for book club.
Yeah.
And that, there's something about it, because it's, again, not very plot driven. That's just a lot more interesting. It's like Cleo and Frank, but set in England. And written in our language, our kind of voice. I don't know how to explain, but yeah. Yeah, it's a vibe.
No, that is good. Should we take a moment to play a little game?
Yeah, go on.
It's game time.
Go on, okay. So this week's game time. Okay, so we're going to do a little game of bestie, husband, enemy.
Yeah. With
some of the males from... Mm-hmm. some of these books mentioned.
So today we can discuss what we do about Frank from Cleo and Frank, and then we can do Anders from Cleo and Frank, who we've not spoken about yet.
No, we haven't.
We can chat about now. And then finally Nathan from Mr. Salary, the main guy.
Yeah. I feel like our answers might be the same.
Actually, I haven't thought about it yet.
Thing is, though, I haven't really thought much about Anders. Should we chat about Anders?
Well, do we know, are we basically both saying that Nathan's our husband?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, because we've spoken about him and he's lovely.
We spoke about Nathan and how lovely he is.
That's
the way he views Suki, then yes, please.
Yeah, so we've just got to decide between bestie and enemy out of Anders and Frank.
Yeah.
I don't even know, because I don't know quite... Well, okay, what do you think about Anders?
I think I prefer Anders to Frank.
Okay.
I think, I feel like Frank has more baggage.
Yeah, you're right.
I think I understood Frank's motivation. Mind you, I don't really know. I think I You spend more time with Frank, but I think I don't think we'd get along. But then again, Anders seems a bit like a kind of pretty boy in a way.
Yeah. Well, I don't know, because I didn't like Anders for most of the book because he just gets with everyone.
Yeah.
And also, he just leaves Cleo in the lurch, which I kind of get, but...
but you you don't really want that from a bestie, do you?
No, but then also, he's really cute with his stepson, so...
Yeah.
I don't know, maybe he does have a heart. But then, Frank, like, he has a good chat on the emails that he sends back and forth with Eleanor.
Yeah.
But then he's an aggressive drunk for a lot of the books, so I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
At least, I think with Anders, you could probably go to some fun events.
Yeah, I think you'd have a bit more fun with Anders than you would with Frank, because I think with Frank, there's that fear that he's just going to get drunk and violent and not fun. Yeah, I think he might disappear on a night out.
Yeah.
Up the next day and be like, oh yeah, sorry, I met this person, I'm playing with them. Like, you'd have fun. And live the wild side of life if you didn't want to.
Yeah, true. Yeah, I think he's good as a friend because he was good as like a kind of weird ex-husband person. And you see that he does care when he finds out about Cleo's suicide attempt, so.
So I think our answer the same. So Anders bestie and Frank enemy.
He is. He's not winning me over getting your pet.
No.
What is that? Why are you doing that?
That as well.
Mm.
Like a weird nocturnal pet that's gonna fly around your bedroom. No, thank you.
That you flush down the toilet.
Yeah, I know. I couldn't believe that bit. I was like, oh my god.
Like, come on.
Even when they just made it was like a line about how they had to make sure the toilet lid was shut so that it didn't just fall asleep and drown itself in the toilet.
Yeah.
What kind of animal is this?
Yeah. So
it's silly enough to not fall asleep in the toilet. Or silly enough to sleep in the toilet. Whatever. Anyway, that was that. I hope you enjoyed that game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we had a cracking time. Okay, back on it. What's next after Cleo and Frank? Where are we going?
Should we talk a bit about female friendship and go on to the Yellow Kitchen?
Oh my god, please. I want to talk about a book I love now.
Yeah.
Right. Did I give this 5 stars or did I only give it 4 stars? I can't remember.
Let me find out. I gave it 4. You gave it 4.
Okay.
You said in your review.
Oh.
This Sally Rooney book that Sally Rooney never wrote. And that's the biggest compliment I can think to give to it.
Oh my god. Well, it's convenient then that we just spoke about Sally Rooney, isn't it?
Yeah.
Mm.
And what did I say? A beautifully written tender novel. I was swept, God, I keep being swept away by the story and the relationships between characters. I want to cook dinner with my friends immediately. I mean, it is a lovely book about female friendship and being there for each other through everything, even when things get complicated within the three of you.
Yeah.
Let's summarize.
It's just three friends, and it's marketed as what happens when two of them get in a relationship. But I actually think that's a bit misleading because it's actually about all three girls and the relationship. Like, obviously, it does change things, but it is more so about each of them as individuals and how they come together and what it's like being in your 20s, living in London.
Mm.
So I think it's not really like a relationship kind of book.
No, I agree.
I really love this book. It just feels cozy.
It does.
It feels like home. It makes sense to me also as a woman in her 20s, you know.
Mm. Yeah, because I guess there's a lot about trying to find your sense of belonging. All of the girls are trying to find their place and their happiness. And I guess they're able to find some of this solitude in one of their kitchens all together, having these like little dinner party type things.
Yeah, it's definitely all about the being there for each other, the community, all being in this cozy yellow kitchen. I love that. And also find it really cool that surely, I don't know what you think, but it must be intentional that it's yellow, that it's like the yellow wallpaper.
That's what I was
surely
thinking as well.
Like, because every time I went to mention it to someone, I stopped myself from just going, oh, the yellow wallpaper. I think I did say that sometimes. It is that vibe, which I love, because it's all about women reclaiming space and not being trapped in wallpaper and creeping about the room.
That's what the whole yellow wallpaper story is about. It's like the female agency and her using the form of gothic writing in order to find agency and release herself, even if on the surface the story looks like she's just being driven more and more insane.
Yeah,
actually very much about her agency and her finding control and a space for herself. And that's what the yellow kitchen is. The yellow kitchen space for the three of them.
Yeah, they've moved from being locked in an attic to being in their own kitchen, which is pretty fun.
Yeah, this is what you get when we're English students. We make these links.
We do.
And if they were whether they were intentional or not, we're here to make them.
For sure. Can I throw out a favourite quote or two?
Please do.
Okay. I only wrote down two, so I'll just give them both to you. I love them. The first one is, she sometimes wonders what the air would taste like if Claude was not breathing next to her. Which I think that's Sophie thinks that about Claude.
Yeah.
That would probably make more sense. But I love that it's kind of romantic, but it's also not. It's just friendship. And I think this book was making me think about how there's actually such a thin line between romantic love and just friendship love, whatever that word is. Well, I guess platonic love. Because I would say that kind of thing about my friends. I feel that strongly about like my besties, that I'm like, oh my God, what would it be like?
Yeah.
If I was next to you. And it's like, which they do explore in that. I think Julia thinks that because she's very much like obviously not in a relationship with either of them. But yet she says that she is, does she not still love them as much as they love each other?
Yeah. Okay. And I love the fact that it's about romantic love and platonic love.
Yeah.
I love that it's showing, I keep saying love. I really like that it's showing that there's more than one type of love and exploring those rather than being, you can only love each other in a romantic way. It's like, no, platonic love is such a big thing.
Yeah. And also, I just love that it's such a, we're all about the love. It's such a love letter to female friendship that we love each other as much as, like, almost to the same extent as like this romantic love. You know, it's that whole idea of friends being each other's soulmates.
Yeah, exactly. Which is such a lovely, such a lovely sentence. It's really gorgeous.
Yeah, it really is. And the other quote I wanted to say is, what do you look for in love? I look for someone who will simply let me be quiet by their side, which I think is what Claude says. Oh, that's so beautiful. Oh,
that's so beautiful.
It's such a peaceful book. Although it's not quite beefy, but it's a bit tense with a couple of the girls when the relationship changes and there's a funeral in it. So it's not always the happiest book, but overall it just does feel peaceful and everything's calm and nothing just doesn't feel dramatic. I think that's what I love about this. It's just three girls that are going to be friends no matter what.
Yeah, exactly. And you don't always want those kind of crazy dramatic moments. And even though there are those plot points, there's that kind of safety and comfort within it as well.
Definitely. And I really, really love, because, you know, like Water for Chocolate is one of my favourite books. And then that story's told through recipes. I really enjoy as well that this book is somewhat similar in that it's not told through recipes, but definitely what Claude cooks is a massive part of it. And so see, the kitchen is super important.
Yeah, it is.
Music, feel, food of love, that whole kind of vibe, but like actual food.
Yeah.
What she makes, it's so fun seeing her like go off and be this entrepreneur and experimenting with things and showing love through food. And that is such a vibe. I love that for her.
Yeah, I really love that as well.
It's nice as well because obviously the kitchens historically it's the female space. Yeah. But she's kind of using it in a business sense, which is nice.
Yeah, so it's like a reclaiming, being like, oh no, we're choosing to occupy this space. Mm-hmm. Which is always nice and refreshing. Women making choices for themselves.
Yeah. And I really love as well the whole thing you said about each of them trying to belong when they just do belong to each other. Not in that sense, but you know what I mean? Because Claude feels like an outsider because did she grow up in France or not? Her mum was 100% French.
Yeah.
And she had a single mum.
I can't remember exactly whether she did grow up in France or whether she came to the UK when young.
But she very much, like, that's such an important part of her identity. And she's trying to balance that with living in the UK. Yeah. And then on the other hand, we've got Julia, and she definitely, like, she's from Italy, and she talks about, like, she misses all the things from being at home and talks about going back there.
Yeah.
And then with Sophie, hers is that awkward hand straddle between living off her parents being rich and going to boarding school and that, and juggling the pressures of them, and actually just, like, doing what she wants, escaping from that shadow.
No, exactly. So it is all about all of them trying to find their spaces of belonging. And it's almost as if they find where they belong, not in a physical space, but through each other.
Oh, that's so lovely. Yeah.
It's almost like, yeah, okay, there is the yellow kitchen, and that it acts as a physical marker of their bond and their belonging all together. But it almost feels like towards the end of the novel, they don't need that physical space. They've realized that belonging within themselves and with each other, which is mean, it's pretty impressive that it's, and this is very totally random thought, but it's written by a French woman in English. Like, that's a feat in itself.
That's actually amazing. Yeah, she said it was her first English book, right?
To write a novel is one thing, but to write a novel in your second language and it to be such a beautiful novel like this one.
Yeah.
Is amazing.
That's so impressive. How she can, because to speak another language is amazing, but to write in it and to be able to, like, because for instance, like, when I speak another language, I can say it, but I can't say it in a pretty way. You know, it's to be able to, like, do metaphors and, like, idioms, that kind of stuff, like that is super cool. So I really rate that.
It is amazing,
and it adds another layer to it. I really love that it's such a melting pot in this, like, she uses different languages in there as well, as French and Italian, and it just feels like a whole bowl of love, you know
it really does. It's lovely. So this is definitely one that I would recommend.
Yeah, we really recommend this one.
People to read. It's so, so good. So lovely.
It is. It really is.
I was kind of crying a little bit on the train when I was finishing it off. Got a bit teary. Aww. Maybe it was because I was also thinking about all my wonderful friends. I think it does make you think about the friendships in your own life.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it made me think of us four, you know.
Yeah.
If we were three, someone's got to go.
But even the fact that literally a few days before, we were all cooking a barbecue at Ella's together.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, I don't know.
Yeah.
It was just really sweet.
Mm, it really was. It's very uplifting.
Yeah.
And it's easy to read, and it's just relatable. It's really nice.
It really is.
I guess we've come to the end of that one. On to maybe a little bit of Emma Klein or Saba Sams.
Yeah, because I've never read any Saba Sams and you've never read any Emma Klein.
No.
I feel like maybe Emma Klein's writing is a bit different to a lot of the other authors.
Oh, shall I go for Saba Sams then?
Yeah, so maybe you should go for that.
Yeah, I love saying Saba Sams. It sounds like Chaka Khan.
it's a very satisfying name to say.
So I'll give you a little rundown of Send Nudes.
Let's summarize.
So this is a short story collection I think it was published by Granta. Not that that's especially relevant, but just cool, edgy, indie. Yeah, written by Saba Sams. And it's, I love the cover. It's pink and in a white box, and it's got a photo of peaches in it. It is really nice. And I love the title, Send Nudes, because that is just such a vibe. That is so now. I mean, yeah, obviously, we're so talking about very contemporary fiction, so obviously.
Yeah.
But, you know, it just really sets a tone for the collection. It is all about dating, really. Well, yeah, no, it is. And it works really well to have the more short stories, because it's like going on different dates. So I think the concept is really good. I gave it 3 stars because some of the stories, so I would rate individual stories 5 stars, but as is always the way of collections, there's just some that you don't like as much.
Yeah.
But I still recommend reading it, I think. I don't know, because for instance, my favourite story was the first one. Mm. So if you pick it up and just read the first story, then you'll have a cracking time. Because the first one, all of them, her style is just perfect. I love, love, love how she writes. So I'm going to read more what she comes out with. But yeah, they're all just a little bit rogue, not standard dating stories. So the first one, my favourite one, just to give you an idea. This girl, I think she's really young, like 15, 16 maybe. And she lives with her dad above a butcher's shop, and he's a butcher and she helps him. And then she gets Tinder, meets this guy. And again, actually, he's a lot older than her.
Oh, common thing.
And then, yeah. And then she loses her virginity to him. And it's very explicit. It's pretty much just talks about them having sex a lot. And then she gets really attached to his pet dog.
Ooh.
And it gets to the point where one time they're having sex, and then the dog tries to attack the boyfriend because he really doesn't like it when the boyfriend's affectionate with her, because he becomes really possessive of her. And then actually the boyfriend is really injured and has to get stitches. And it gets to the point where they're like, yeah, we're gonna have to have him put down. And then I think it ends with her taking the dog maybe or something and breaking up with a guy.
Oh,
so it sounds weird, but her writing style is so beautiful, all just really compelling. And I love that there's just something a bit different to it. It could be a story about just hooking up with a guy, but it's a bit rogue, and she writes in a really understated way. So also in the story, I think she has a miscarriage. She didn't mean to get pregnant anyway. And so, but that's just in there. It's very matter of fact, which again I like.
Mm.
And the whole relationship with the dog becomes so surreal, so it makes it not as big a deal. Not that I wouldn't minimize having a miscarriage, because it's horrible, but it's not used to dramatic effect.
Yeah,
if you get me.
Yeah,
but the stories are very varied in there. The kind that I didn't like were the ones that just went too far being rogue. So like one example is, there are these kids that, well, they can't have been kids, they must have been a bit older, like teenagers, and every year they travel around festivals, and their mums did some kind of like trapeze act. And then one year at a festival, the two girls meet this guy, their dad's doing something at the festival, and they show him around and they both fancy him and they both kiss him or something. And then at the end, they're trying to show off, and they're like, oh, we're going to do a trapeze act for you. There's not a safety net. And I don't know what happens in the end, but it's just this weird circus vibe. I don't know. It's really weird, especially because they're quite young.
Mm.
So it's a real mixed bag.
And I think you do find that with short story collections.
Yeah, I guess that's just the thing, short stories, isn't it? But some of them, the best short stories I've ever read were in there. It's just there are some that are so, really, do we need that? If we could cut that book in half,
yeah,
then yeah, it could be an easy 5-star. But she has honestly the best writing style. Just some of them are like, what is this? Yeah, it just depends. Like the relatable ones, well, when something weird happened, but like the general theme of it, you're like, okay, get that.
Mm.
Fine, but some of it just got like too surreal, and I was like, what is this? So yeah, mixed bag. But she wrote in a very similar style to Coco Melo's, actually.
Okay.
mid that one.
Yeah. Yeah, and I guess that's kind of how I felt with Emma Klein's short story collection called Daddy. That's also quite mid in a way. Was that the Be Real notification?
It's Be Real's gone off, everyone.
Yeah, so it's very kind of all over the shop. And I think it's less lit thick in the way that a lot of these are. But it is very much about some quite kind of dark, kind of complex characters who've all got these kind of complicated lives going on. And I know it's been a while since I read it, but I remember enjoying it, and there was a few that I preferred to others, as I should do. But I think it was very much questioning kind of the good and bad in people.
Okay.
Less about the kind of the plots of what was happening, but more about the characters and what they were like and their relationships with each other, because there was lots of kind of family ones alongside kind of friendship ones and relationship ones. So yeah, but I'm undecided on the whole what I feel about Emma Klein's writing.
Okay. What was the whole, like, what relevance does the title have?
The title is just one of the short stories.
Okay.
Which I'm trying to remember whether, because there's one story where it's about a dad and his son, and his son's having like a bad time at school. And it's a bit complex. So I can't remember whether it's that one that it's titled after. It's
probably
a year since I read it, so I'm not really selling it very well, but
no, fair enough. Yeah.
I think that might be all we have time for this week.
Oh my god. Wow.
I know, that time has flown past.
We got through a lot, to be fair, so yeah. Pop off us.
We did. So hopefully you guys have got some more recommendations, and I'm sure we'll be reading more lit fic.
100%.
Keeping up with, I think it'll be interesting to see where this kind of genre of stories goes.
Yeah.
Because it's very good, like you said, being very current and very with the kind of themes of the time. So it'll be interesting to see how that develops over time.
We'll close that
with a blonde moment.
Yeah.
So Carrie.
Blonde moment.
Doo doo. Over to you.
Yeah, so this week goes to Sharon, is it Hogan? Sharon Hogan. Yeah, because I was really impressed last night. I saw her in, I can't even tell you what it's called, but you'll probably know what I'm on about if you're from the UK. The new BBC thing with Michael Sheen and Sharon Hogan. That's about, they have a daughter and she's born with muscular dystrophy and she's really badly affected. Like, she has her organs, well, I don't think they fail, but she's so poorly. And it's pretty much about the family's experience of that. And I didn't watch it all because I was sleepy, but it was really phenomenal acting, because I've only ever seen her really do more comedic stuff, but it was more serious. And it was so moving, even from the little bit I saw. And I'm pretty sure she writes things as well. So she's quite a baddie. I definitely think she's deserving of blonde moments.
Definitely.
Yeah, so I'll have to watch a bit more of that if it's not too depressing. It's got good reviews from other people.
Yeah, hopefully it's got a nice kind of uplifting twist.
Yeah, they actually also work really well together, like her and Michael Sheen, so that's cool.
Yeah. Very good.
That's this week's blonde moment.
Love that.
We do. Yeah. So next week, we won't be back with Barbie quite yet, because we won't have had enough time to discuss it.
We'll be talking about some of our favourite beginnings and endings of books and films. I'm excited to put my thinking cap on to come up with a little list of a couple. We'll probably do two films and two books, beginnings each. But that should be interesting, I think.
Yeah.
Like, we'll have quite different answers as well, so.
Yeah, I only have one answer straight away. So that'll be a good one. It's quite fun. I like the idea. Well done, Ella.
Well, I think we both came up with it together. last year. So, mm-hmm. But anyway, we will see you all then.
Thanks for listening to 2 o'clock with Keller.
Join us next time for more.